Join Kenneth Copeland and David Barton for a special Believer's Voice of Victory as they study God's Word about God's righteousness and influence in our nation. A timely message that will strengthen your thinking and encourage your heart.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I can't hardly wait till we get into this today because we're going to stir stuff up today. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother David Barton is with us, and we've been talking about our responsibilities where the Word is concerned because of our need, our command from Jesus to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. And David and I were talking about during the break those words there in Ephesians 6 said, having done all to stand, therefore stand.
Yeah.
That Greek text literally says, having overcome them all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly places, having overcome them all, stand. Mm-hmm. So we not only have the command from God to stand, we have the command from God to defeat the wiles of the devil.
That's right.
That's the reasoning behind that. Now, if we open the door to Satan in any area, he'll take advantage of you.
Yeah.
It says that we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Yeah. Now then, let's talk about, and we're talking about praying over political candidates. We're talking about the fact that we stand with them on their platform.
Yeah.
So you better find out what's in that platform before you climb up on it and invest your vote. You can't stand back here while they're up there on their platform and send you a vote up there. No, it don't work like that, Bubba. If you think it does, try it in court sometime and say, well, you know, I was there, I drove the car, and I spent the money after they got through, but I didn't have no part of that.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Work.
Association is right up there amongst them now. You have to take responsibility for that.
Yeah.
Adam refused, and David, in my mind, the more I study this, the more I know God, and the more I understand about him, this was as serious in the heart and mind of God as what he did beforehand. He disowned his wife, and he got mad at God, and he literally said without saying it, I didn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't vote against it either.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything.
He didn't veto it.
He just stood there, and the Bible said she was deceived. He was not.
Yeah.
So, let's get over into this area. Now, is this wrong for me? If someone is perpetrating a fraud, and I know it. I know it's fraudulent. And it's crosswise against the Word of God. What he's saying is crosswise of the Word. What he's saying is not true. And he's getting money to say it, and I know it. And then I give him the money to go on and do what he's doing. That can't be right.
No.
So,
no.
What has happened here then? I'm involved in that guy's sin. I'm involved in his fraud.
Yeah. You can become a partaker
with
him.
I'm a partaker of what he's doing.
That's right.
So, now, the same thing's true with my vote. If the guy's doing that and I vote for him, I put him in office because of something else I want out of him. There's so much. He's beating my neighbor out of his money, but he really hadn't hurt me none.
Yeah.
Yes, he has too. But the big thing is now I'm crosswise of God's word on more than one count because now I'm a part of his fraud and his lie.
That's right.
But not only that,
that's right.
The environmental thing. One of the biggest tax frauds known to man, I guess, you were telling me. Well, let's read the scripture first. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5. And let's read the 22nd verse, or 21st verse. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. You know why they had eyes and see not? They didn't look. Yeah. And they had ears and didn't see because they didn't listen. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Yeah. By this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and they are gone. Now, it says here that he has made a decree.
A perpetual decree.
A perpetual decree. This ain't going to change until he unperpetuates it.
That's right.
I guarantee
that's right.
You. That's when right. God says it, that's the way it's going to be. Now, he said now the waves toss around and they do all the stuff, I mean, the wind and all the storms and all that kind of thing, but that water's going to go back where it was.
That's right.
Now, one of the big things about global warming, environmental, and so forth, and don't misunderstand me here now, David. I am a strong believer in conservation. Yeah. I'm a strong believer in being responsible where this planet is concerned and so forth. I am also a strong believer in the sanctity of human life and welfare.
That's right.
I don't believe that a rat has precedent over a man.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't make any sense, and everybody knows it, but there are still people getting tax dollars to trying to prove it.
We got entire universities that prove that are teaching kids otherwise. It's now called speciesism. That is a prevalent teaching in most of our major universities. There are several textbooks on it. And it says how arrogant for you to think that you are a species above the rats, the mice. Matter of fact, a new edict out in Scandinavian nations is they can do nothing in their research as researchers. They cannot be allowed to offend the dignity of plants. If they do, they lose their funding because that's a species just like us and all species are equal. And how arrogant are we to think that we as a species are above fleas, ticks, ants, plants, anything else? Now, that's a worldview problem that is not biblical. But that is genuine and out there, and that's what our kids are being taught right now. I'm telling you, entire textbooks on speciesism, look it up on the web, look it up on the internet, you'll see it all out there, and that's a prevalent teaching.
Well, now, that teaching can be found in the book, but not in this book.
That's right.
It's in the books of other religions and have been. Ain't a thing in the world new about that.
No.
There are people starving to death with plants and animals living in the house
right.
with them, and they're starving to death because their book won't let them eat.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing I'm talking about. When any time, let's say that I get the opportunity to invest in some research for my business. Let's say I'm whatever business I'm in a legitimate business. I get a chance to research. Well, that's a good thing. But not if I don't have the money.
Yeah.
Not if I'm already so deep in debt that I can't pay my bills,
yeah.
and now I'm going to go spend more money than I've ever made before, mm-hmm. investing in research that I'm already not getting. No, you're way out of line when it comes to managing your business or my business, anybody else's
yeah.
business when you act like that.
Yeah.
And here's the government wanting to spend $200 billion a year for how many years?
40 years.
40 years?
40 years.
On what?
The Kyoto Treaty is what they say has to be implemented by all industrialized nations if we're going to get global warming under control. So their proposal is, and just the American part, would be $200 billion a year. This is the carbon, reducing the fossil footprint, they call it, getting the carbon emissions under control, getting CO2 down, the cap and trade policies that are out there. Everybody gets a limit on how much carbon dioxide you can emit, and if I emit too much, you can trade with me some of your carbon credits that you didn't use. And so we come to this thing where we're going to make a limit on it. Now, that's the Kyoto Treaty. It's been out there for about 10 years. U.S. Senate has not ratified it. There's a huge push to ratify it and get with the rest of the world on global warming. So the American part of that would be about $200 billion a year for 40 years.
Oh.
Now, here's the deal.
Even count that high.
Here's the part nobody told you about. If we do this, if America spends for 40 years, $200 billion a year for 40 years, do you know how much it will reduce global temperatures?
None, probably.
0.1%. If we can do this for 40 years and
that's none. That's none.
0.1%. And we think we're going to save the world over 0.1%?
And David, let's get real about it. The bureaucracy that thing would create will eat up the $200 billion.
Now you're into a worldview thing, because there are a set of people out there, and let me see if I can put this in priority, because when I gave testimony on this at the U.S. Senate, I called Dan Lappin, Rabbi Lappin, Orthodox rabbi. I said, Dan, you know, I understand the Bible and what it says about all these things, and even the verse we just read on what the sea's going to do, because global warming says that it's melting the polar ice caps, the seas are going to rise. So this all came out in the first IPCC report, and that's the IPCC is one of the committees of the United Nations. They're the ones who started the global warming kind of movement. They've had four reports now. And the first report said, because the way global warming is going, the oceans are going to rise about 40 foot as a result of the melting of the polar ice caps. It's going to inundate all the low-lying areas, going to wipe out billions of people across the world and all these low-lying coastal areas. It's going to wipe everything out. All right, that's their opinion. But if God says, I've given a perpetual decree that the sea can go to here and no further, who am I going to believe? Now, what's been interesting and what has not been reported is in the subsequent three reports that have come out by the IPCC over the last 10, 12 years, they've now gone from a 40-foot sea rise down to about 2 to 3 inches is what they say it'll be now. I don't think many people are going to drown in 2 to 3 inches of water. So the science, as it always does, science is ever-changing. The Word of God says straight right there. God says, I gave you a perpetual decree. You're going here. You're going no further. You're going to stay right here. And so we're basing all this on science that is changing so fast that these guys revise themselves three times now. And what gets all the attention in the media is the IPCC, because there's 2,500 global scientists on that. What does not get attention, and you know, that award-winning DVD that Al Gore said that, hey, it's a settled issue, yeah. Everybody's with... Okay, you got 2,500 scientists over here on the IPCC. We've just now found out that about half those guys didn't agree with the conclusions. So it wasn't 2,500 scientists. Maybe it was 1,500 or 1,226. It was just a little over half. Over here on the other side, you have the Oregon Institute of Science and Medicine, where now over 33,000 scientists have signed on and said, we don't think global warming is occurring this way. So we got about 1,500 scientists driving what 33,000 others, but the media is into this side over here. And it will create a huge bureaucracy. And the problem is they've elevated government above man, above everything else. And the example we gave was real simple to the U.S. Senate. Said, okay, just the first year of what the U.S. government would spend on the Kyoto Treaty, the $200 billion the first year, for $200 billion, we can provide clean drinking water to every person in the world, 6 billion. We can save about 20 million lives a year that die from dysentery and cholera and all the water diseases and all these other countries. For that amount, we can save about 20 million lives a year across the world. And they said, no, that's the first of 40 years installment to reduce 0.1 degree. We're not going to save people's lives. We got to get this bureaucracy going. We got to stop global warming. So it really becomes an agenda-driven thing that is about money, that creates a new bureaucracy, because you do have, and it's been this way from the beginning, back to the Tower of Babel, there's two viewpoints. You have a God-centered viewpoint where that God is supreme. You have a man-centered viewpoint where that government is supreme. And what you've got is both of them are religions. Both of them have a God up top, but on one, the government's the God. Over here, ours is God Jehovah.
In one of them, its base is the Garden of Eden. The other one, its base is the Tower of Babel.
That's right. That's right.
One's the Babylonian system. The other is the Eden system.
And what's so significant, and what Rabbi Lappin really just turned me over with, was he made a real simple comment. He said, now remember that in the creation, everything occurred in an ascending order. I don't know, wait a minute. Say that again?
Yeah.
It occurred. And he said, what happens on the secular side is they reverse the order. So on day one in creation, you have nothing. It's the inanimate. And then you work up through the plants, and you work up through the fish, you work up through the birds, you work up through the animals, and you work up to man. It went up to layers. And the most important was day six, was man. That's the highest part of creation. Now, on the other worldview, inanimate is the highest part. Earth is the highest part, and man is the lowest. Man is the cause of every problem. If we can just get man under control, the globe will be saved. And so what they do, and that's why we got Michael Vick sitting in jail for dogfighting, but we won't put abortionists in jail for killing babies, because you see, when you reverse the order, animals are more important than man. Man is we can take 50 million human lives in abortion. What's that? But try proposing an abortion of seals, or an abortion of whales, or an abortion of polar bears. That go through the roof. But that's animals. But see, that speciesism that they have says, oh, man's the lowest thing down here. And so what they're doing is saying, to save the planet, we're willing to limit man and harm man. We're willing to lose 20 million people a year to dirty water if we can save the planet over here. So they have completely reversed the creation order. Romans 1:25 says they worship the creation rather than the creator.
Rather than the creator.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's where they start elevating plant life. Now, plants used to be way back low on the Christian, the biblical list. You know, they're there, but they're below the fish, and they're below the animals, and they're below man. But what you've got now is they're above man. And so over in Scandinavian nations, like I mentioned, they're saying that we won't give you any research money if you offend the dignity of plants in your research. Man's down low, plants are higher than man. And a lot of that in America has even been facilitated by the type of entertainment we have. And I'm a movie collector. I've got about 1,500 classic movies in my collection. I love watching old movies, and I love the old Disney classics. But I really point to the Disney movies as having changed the way we think.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Bambi came out, and when all the animated classics came out, suddenly Bambi was one of us. It had feelings.
Yeah.
Its parents were shot, and boy, look at the crisis
and
it went through.
And witchcraft was okay.
That's right.
Yeah.
All that changed the way we looked at it. And then we had, Lady and the Tramp, great movie. I love the movie. But two dogs with a romantic engagement at an Italian restaurant eating? I don't think so. And we got Lion King, where an animal discovers his true purpose in life. It doesn't happen that way. But see, what we did was we made the animals equal to man. We made them all the same. And now our pets are just like us. Jesus Christ died to save people. He did not die to save animals or plants or the planet. He died to save people. And so when Rabbi Lappin told me that, so remember, it's an ascending order, and in a secular view, it's a descending order. And then what really stood out to me was on day six, not only did God make man, but the last thing he made on that day, Genesis 1:27 said, let's make man our image, male and female created he them. The last thing he made on that day was woman. She's the absolute top of God's creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can tell a whole lot about how biblical a culture is by how it treats its women.
Oh,
You
can see that from afar.
That's right.
You don't
That's
even
right.
have to hear what they say. It's what's how he treats his wife and his children.
That's exactly it.
And Jesus is the one that redeemed her from the terrors of childbearing.
That's
He's
right.
the one that redeemed her and
That's
put
right.
her back up to a place where she belonged.
That's right.
And that's the same thing is true in what he did. He put it, everything, all of it, he put it all back in order.
That's right. That's right. And man gets it out of order. And when you understand that, you understand the environmental movement. You understand the endangered species stuff. I mean, they worship endangered species. We'll do anything to save them. Now, we won't save man down here, but we'll save the endangered species. They get every one of those steps in the opposite order. The planet is the highest, and man is the lowest, and you can just step through everything they do. And look at all the public policies we create on the premise that reverse creation. Man's the lowest, and inanimate's the highest.
And the major concern here is the fact that they don't think they think that way.
Yeah.
And now, for the world to think, the world thinks whatever it's going to think. I mean, somebody that's in the dark does not know what they stumble over.
That's right.
But Listen, you do. Born again Christian people don't have any business propagating that kind of thing, because you need to go back to what the Word says about it and believe God.
That's right.
Because you're going to be a part of a fraud. You're going to be a part of a tax ripoff.
Yeah.
And if you don't take your stand and say something about, well, what does my little old stand at? You got a vote.
Yeah.
And that vote has a voice.
It
does. Guarantee you that's the reason God put this country in the kind of government that he designed for this, in order that we have something to say about this. You have something to say about whether this country's barred itself into oblivion or not. And when we stand up and do the same thing, David, I thought about this. Now, I started preaching. I went in this ministry in 1967. And just right off of the bat, I mean, we hadn't been in this thing but a few days, and the Lord began to point out to me that I'm supposed to be majoring in biblical economics and the way believers are conducting themselves. And Christians are the ones that fought me.
Yeah.
What if pastors had just rallied around this nearly 42 years ago and said, come on, brother, let's get this thing said. We need to get the body of Christ out of debt. We need to believe God for our finances. We need this nation strong again.
Yeah.
Instead of fighting it for the first 25 out of the 41, and still scrambling against it,
not like it was, but still resistance.
What if they just took a stand for it and gone ahead and believed the Word? My.
Joshua 1:8, he says, if you will meditate in my Word and do the things I tell you, then you'll be successful and prosperous. If you do this, then you get the results. Makes a difference.
Don't you sit around there and don't go vote. You pray and you get involved. And if you're already too late, you haven't registered to vote, it's not too late to pray. You repent, you get before God because you sinned.
And call all your neighbors and tell them to go vote.
And get busy with it. And get into it and be a part of this thing. And David and I'll be back in just a moment.
From its earliest moments as a fledgling union, and for decade upon decade, Americans recognize the Holy Bible as central to the shaping of a strong, enduring society. Today, this legacy of scriptural influence is under attack. So, Kenneth Copeland Ministries is pleased to present The Influence of the Bible on America. David Barton of Wall Builders hosts this 90-minute DVD that sets the record straight.
So in this program, we're going to see firsthand the historical records that categorically prove the Bible has directly affected the most important aspects of our culture.
This inspirational DVD is a must-have resource for believers around the world. Barton presents the words, pictures, and undeniable documents of America's moral and religious heritage. The Influence of the Bible on America is a roadmap for future greatness, not only for America, but for communities and nations around the world. Also included in the influence package is the book, The Bible, Voters, and the 2008 Election by David Barton, a simple and clear resource of scriptural answers to help biblical voters make informed biblical evaluations in their elections. Order the influence package today for $20 online at kcm.org or when you call 800-575-4455. Order this timely DVD and book package and begin walking in the authority and influence God has given you.
You still have time to get a hold of these even before the election if you let us know today that you want them. The Influence of the Bible on America by David Barton. This is a DVD. But now, you don't need to be just watching this before the election and then put it away. This is important all the time. This is what you teach your children. This is what you teach and live and develop and build out, because we're changing this nation. God is healing this nation, and if we'll do our part, it'll come just that much quicker. The Bible, voters and the 2008 election. We need to get this. Have you got this on your website also?
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
This is good. And you need to get hold of these things and get into action and stay into action, because it's a chain reaction. Your household changes, and then your church changes,
right,
and then your city changes, and things. I mean, and God will see to it that it ripples right on up to the top.
That's right.
And that's what we're in action to do here.
That's right.
Is get on the Word of God. That's what this ministry is about. We're not here to tell you how to vote or for whom to vote. We are here to tell you the information you need to make your own decision, because you're going to pray and you're going to vote the way God tells you to vote. But we're here to encourage you to do that and to make it strong in your life. Father, we pray over our leaders all over the world.
Yeah.
We hold them up to you. Yeah. The primary thing here is the preaching of the gospel, because that gospel brings peace. We thank you for it. We stand on your word concerning it. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for the peace and the honesty and the godliness of the body of Christ, for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Excuse me. Now, prayer works. If you need prayer, we've got offices all over the world, and you can get a hold of somebody somewhere.
Yeah,
praise
right.
God. There are people now that know how to
that's
pray.
Right.
Hadn't been. It's in our lifetime that
that's
that
right.
wasn't
it's
true.
Been a real change.
But it's true now.
That's
there
right.
are people everywhere praying. Praise God. David, thank you. We'll tie right back into this again tomorrow. And until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, David Barton reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. In the midst of the noise the political process can bring, even some Christians face the question of voting and have a hard time seeing past what they think are gray areas. Some choose not to vote at all rather than risk voting for the wrong person. But if you lay your vote down, who comes behind you to pick it up? Some don't vote because with children it's just so difficult, while the people elected make decisions that affect those very same children. Some don't vote because they don't know the details of who they should or shouldn't vote for. But in the time it takes to drink a cup of coffee, they can find out exactly which candidates have the right views and make an educated decision. Finally, there are those who see it as a choice to walk in the light or lay down their vote in darkness. Let's walk together. Let's use our believing and our ballot to turn on the light. Watch. Pray. Vote.